at Whitewater, you're going to notice a lot of different people come and speak. Last week, you heard from Craig talking about spiritual formation, which was incredibly beautiful. And throughout this God Dreams process, we have a team of like 12 people that are helping set this in stone and help us move forward in that. And throughout this group of 12 people, we break down different individual pieces of this God Dreams process, life transformation groups being a part of it. And on that group sits Caleb and Sherry and Craig, and I think Neil even is a part of that as well. And so it's a beautiful thing here because I don't always have to be the one to teach. And some of you are saying, hallelujah. No one even laughed. That's good. And some of you, that's exciting, but we share this platform, we share this stage because there's a lot of people, all of us have a story to share in this. All of us have a way in which we lead through how the Spirit is forming us. And that's why we share this stage, that's why we do what we do. And it's kind of cool because today my wife, Sherry, come on down here, she is kind of a wallflower maybe? Is that a thing? You like behind-the-scenes stuff more than speaking in front of people.
Yes, I do.
So she does a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. She works with your children, so if they come home sassing you, this is why, okay? She works with our youth, and she does a lot of other stuff, but she is part of the LTG team, and she is going to teach about LTGs. You ready? Life transformation groups. Come on, here we go. Give it up for Sherry.
Hi, everybody. Yes, I can be found most Sunday mornings before church with our junior hires and senior hires, who are awesome. And if you don't know them, you need to get to know them, because they need to know you, and that's my plug for that. Moving on, I'm here for Life Transformation Groups. So as Adam said, we've been working on some vision here at Whitewater. 10 years ago when Whitewater started, we began with a mission that is, we are a community of people persistently moving the world two steps closer to Jesus. And what we're doing is, we're not a baby church anymore. We're trying to take that to the next level. So the reason for life transformation groups at Whitewater, this is really important to us, and I want to read a couple quotes out of our new vision statement. I told Thad, he's on computer, that I'd be all over the place, so bear with him as he tries to keep up with me. So this is going to be one of those quotes, Thad. It says, we envision creating an atmosphere where spiritual formation results in leadership multiplication, which creates a cycle that feeds further spiritual formation and multiplication far into the future. The next one, another quote is, we envision 75% of our people participating in life transformation groups, knowing and being known by one another as you walk together, strengthened and challenged in deep community. This is why life transformation groups are so important to Whitewater. And as I unpack these and define them for you, I hope this is making sense and that you understand why. Community is really important to us at Whitewater. And one of the desires as we're in this vision training is that in spiritual formation, we don't want biblically illiterate people. We want to dig into the Bible together. We want to know what it says. We want to dive into who God is. And that's what this is about. So we have these nice pamphlets that we can hand out about life transformation groups, and they say everything I'm going to say a lot more eloquently and with a lot more scripture to back all of it up. And we have these if you would like to read these. And they're fantastic, and I'm going to use this a little bit today that will unpack life transformation groups for you. But I want to bring this in for you of what this is at Whitewater and to help you know that this is serious and something to go through the right process with, but never should things be legalistic. This is about the Holy Spirit and your pursuit of God. And so he always needs to be the center of what this looks like for us. So I'm just going to start right now with defining a life transformation group. A life transformation group, if you're not in one, here's the definition. If you are, this is still for you because it's easy to get off track, and this is going to bring you back on track of what we're doing this for and what this is. So it is a group of 2 to 3 people of the same gender meeting weekly for about an hour. 2 to 3 people because it's way easier to plan your schedule when there's just 2 of you, 3 of you. You are going to probably want to bring other people in. This is different from small groups and Bible studies where it's just a big group, and that's because it's easier to meet when there's 2 or 3 of you and be committed to this. Commitment is a big deal with the Life Transformation Group. But eventually, if there's 2 of you, you bring another person in. Eventually, you bring a 4th person in. Once you know all 4 of you are committed to this, you break off into 2s and start the process all over again. Fellowship is always a really fun part of it, developing stronger friendships, sharing life, all the fun, and that is awesome. And if you're like me with my Life Transformation Group, we love the fellowship, so ours can take 1.5 to 2 hours because we love to chat. But first and foremost, you need to go through the Life Transformation Groups. You need to make sure you hit those questions because this is where you have the conversations that matter. Fellowship is awesome and fun, but conversations that matter are where we get that deep community. So also what we do here is you're going to have personal accountability to develop your spiritual growth. This is the greatest part. There's no curriculum, no training. You don't have to know a bunch about the Bible or think you already know a bunch about the Bible. It's okay if you don't know anything about the Bible. It's okay if you don't know for sure about God. It's okay if you've known God for 10 years. It's okay if you're 14. It's okay if you're 94. This is for anybody and everybody. Youth, this is for you too. Yeah. So all you need is this, because it has the questions that are going to keep you focused and on track and are going to hit the stuff that matters. We cover 3 things in Life Transformation Groups. We're going to be reading the Bible. You take off a large chunk, about 25 to 30 chapters per week. And that is a large chunk. And the reason is that when you take off such a large chunk, it's probably going to be necessary to make this a part of your daily habit to make that happen. And that's the point. We want to be so into the Word that it becomes daily habit and we are listening for God and diving into His Word in our lives and making that a habit. Also, when you take off a chunk of 25 to 30 chapters, it is common for you not to get through it all. So your Life Transformation Group partner may not get through it all, and then you commit to reading that same chunk again. And that's not to shame anybody. None of this should be about that. That is, again, the commitment to reading and understanding I can read it again, and God may have something new to say to me, but I'm not leaving anybody behind. We don't leave each other behind. We're in this together. We move forward together. This is a side-by-side process. The other thing you're going to do is confession of sin, and that one sounds intimidating and scary. And again, that isn't to shame anybody. The point of confession of sin together is because you're in this together. We move forward together, and we're not meant to do it alone. Proverbs says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. This is to sharpen each other. This is to help each other go to God, help each other be focused on God, take everything to God. And then we're going to pray for others who don't know Christ. Why digging into Scripture? Why is this so important? Why is this so important to Whitewater? I am going to give a couple verses. There are so many that we can use, and like I said, there's a whole bunch on here, but here are some that as I've been reading in my LTG now for the past year or so, there are some verses that have stuck out to me of why it's so important to take this seriously and why to be in the Bible. So I want to put up John 1:1-5. I'm actually just going to read the first part for now. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. I don't really know how else to help anybody, and I say these things to the youth all the time, to know God, to know who he truly is, unless you're digging into the Word, because that's where it's at. That's how you know him. So this is vital to your spiritual formation, and Whitewater desires for us to be moving 2 steps closer. And that 2 steps is where you're at now, moving 2 steps closer. But to truly know God, to truly know who he is, to truly dive into relationship with him, we have to be in the Word. Also, Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing through the word of Christ. same thing, to grow your faith, to really dig into who God is and develop your faith in him, it comes from being in the Word. As far as the confession of sin, I want to go to the last part of John 1, 1 through 5. The end of it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." So we're confessing sin because we're not alone in this, and we're not meant to be alone in this. And when we feel alone and we die, we have these struggles and we have these hang-ups and we have these things that distance us from God, we're in darkness. But we don't have to be. God is the light. A light shines in the darkness. And when we do this together and we pray together and we go through these things together, we're not defeated. So there's a lot of intentionality with this. Commitment is a must. Because to have the conversations that matter, to develop these relationships, these need to be safe places to confess in, to have these talks, to dig in, to be accountable to each other, and we need to be committed to the groups. I'm just kind of going over the general idea of what life transformation groups are. At Whitewater, we want you to be able to find your own groups. There's a lot of ideas with small groups and Bible studies where a lot of times people will go to the pastors or leader of the church and say, "I want to be in one," and they'll place them in one. But we want you to know you can find your own people. Like, the pastors don't have to do all this for you. You can find somebody else and say, "Hey, let's do this together," and take action yourself. And I believe, because of my experience, that if you begin taking that action, you're going to be more committed and willing to take the action during the group. Also, though, if you're new and you don't know a lot of people, or you already know people who are in the groups and you do need help getting connected, we're going to help you with that. We have some information, emails and phone numbers of other people looking to be in groups. We're going to give you each other's information and let you get connected. So that's an important part of knowing this, that we will help you with that part of the process, but we want you to be taking action and doing this and understanding that it's exciting that you're empowered to do this and not have to rely on somebody else. You're going to be in, this is a really important part to know, you're in groups with people. And so it's not always, it can be frustrating. Sometimes you feel like you're the one committed and the other person's not. Or sometimes you feel like it's important to you and it's not to the other person, or you're the one who is not making it important and you're frustrating the other person. When you're holding each other accountable to things and having hard conversations or conversations that matter, it's amazing, but it's messy. So we have to be willing to get messy with each other and stick with each other in it. And that's the beauty of real relationships. That's the beauty of real community, is having those conversations, celebrating with each other when we overcome things, or holding each other accountable and growing together. But you need to expect that you're in it with a human being who is pursuing God, and it's messy, and it's good. So that's the gist right now of the life transformation groups. What we're going to do right now is have Caleb and Adam come out, and they're going to do a mock life transformation group. But don't worry, I said they are about an hour. They're not going to take the full hour. We just want them to come out and go through a few of the questions. You do have questions that you go over. I'm going to read you some of those, go through more of them after they're done, and go through some further things. And then I want to explain more of why this is important to Whitewater and me. They're just going to do a short mock one for you so you can see that this isn't intimidating, it isn't scary, and it's pretty simple.
So we got some questions up on the screen. We'll just start going through them one by one. And Caleb and I are actually in different life transformation groups, but we said we could make this happen because we were gluttons for punishment. So here we go. And usually we ask this question, and I've kind of memorized it. What other ways of, what, you know, how have you been a testimony to Jesus this week in your world? And that's kind of, yeah, that in your words and actions. So, you want me to start, or would you like to start?
You start.
You want me to start?
Oh, man. Let me see. It's actually been kind of a rough week in terms of being a testimony in my words and actions.
There's been a lot of things in my world, just with my son.
and parenting issues and my own failures as parents, and really failing a lot at being Jesus in my words and actions. And then there's been some other things that have actually come up throughout this week that have made it hard for me just to see God correctly in that. And so my willingness and desire this week has been kind of rough. So I had the ability to help some friends out this week and do what I needed to do for them. So I guess in that way, I see it there, but not very many other places. So,
yeah, I think I had wins and loses. I feel like the time that was spent in Nebraska at the youth conference was a great Jesus moment, just letting God do His thing. And getting to be a part of that, I felt like there's been some instances with my son's IEP this week that I felt not just me, but my family stood out as just people who love Jesus, which was really great. I feel like there was some failures in that, though, too, where I had some interactions with people at work, and I'm positive that my ability to make light of things that probably shouldn't be made light of probably was off-putting to some individuals. Conversations either about my children or just about me in general.
Sarcasm is one of my spiritual gifts,
yeah,
actually.
For sure. Yeah. I think there was some botched moments there that I needed to go back and deal with. So I'm kind of in the middle on that one.
Yeah. So let's go to the next question then. How have you experienced God in your life this week? For me, I was feeling pretty beat down, actually, the majority of the week, like I said, just with everything going on in my world and family and church and everything else going on. So it's easy for me to get very self-centered and self-focused in that, and woe is me, Eeyore kind of mentality. And so for a good portion of that week, this week, I was very much there. And so I experienced God in several ways just through Friday. I put on the worship set that we were practicing through this week, and the lyrics just were slaying me of just bringing it into focus of, hey, this isn't really about you. You know, you're a player in this, and God was working through you and working on you in these things. Your outlook on life right now is pretty gross. And so I've experienced Him by meeting Him there and just saying, you're right. You know, it's not been good. It's not been shiny and happy and all of those things. So he did meet me there, and we got some stuff we're working on. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think one of the big ones this year was just conviction, this week was conviction. I got done with that interaction with the folks from my work, and I went home and immediately felt kind of God putting His thumb on my forehead of like, hey, this wasn't right. You need to deal with this. And so that was pretty difficult, and that kept me up most of the night, just praying and dealing with God through that. At the same time, I've seen some other things where I was getting hyper self-focused, and I watched God bring that out of like God saying this isn't about you and pointing out things through meetings with people from the church or specifically elders coming out of that one with feeling like this isn't about me, which is beautiful. And feeling the same way about just multiple interactions I had through the week where God said you're a player in this, you're not the top of the mountain, like you know, play your role, be a part of this. So that was really awesome. I was really thankful that God spoke through a lot of the darkness in that. So.
Right. So what are we doing about that issue specifically? For me, I tend to hide things inside a lot of times because I don't want to talk about things that are downers. I don't want to talk about things that are gross in my world. And so a lot of times when I'm feeling that self-doubt or that persecution of self or, oh, woe is me, I'm the only one going through this, I go into myself, which is interesting because I like to talk a lot and an extrovert, so you would think it would just vomit out a lot, but when it's real personal and close like that, I tend not to do those things. And so this week when these things were happening, I think it was on Thursday that Wednesday or Thursday
that I actually started talking to Craig Johnson about it. I just brought him in and I just said, this is what's going on and I don't like it. And normally I'd let those things just bury me and just continue to, I guess, soak or marinate in the suck of life. and that does me absolutely no good. So to be able to voice those things and to bring those things out to light, it didn't necessarily change the suck factor, but man, I had someone else going through it with me, which is, it did change my world. And so responding to God in that and just, yeah, you need to bring this to light instead of just sitting on it, because you're just going to let it eat your lunch. And mm-hmm. I really like my lunch, so I wanted to eat it myself. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think the main thing I brought out of that social interaction was, I think God told me to shut up. Like, mm-hmm. walk into these things and thinking of how are you going to make sure somebody in that situation feels accepted, not how are you going to make sure that person accepts you.
Right.
And so much of that was me trying to tailor my world around the acceptance of others versus walking in and just trying to love and be a part of an interaction. And that was good. That's something that I think God has to remind me of a lot of. Stop trying to protect yourself. Stop trying to shape the world around yourself. Just be who I've called you to be. So
it's amazing how similar these things our weeks are.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's probably because we live across the street from one another. We live the same life.
It's true.
I actually say this kind of nonsense in a real LTG, by the way, so just know that this isn't for your benefit. I think the next one is sin, isn't it? Oh, so we covered promptings, didn't we?
Yep.
Yeah, so let's go to the next one. Do you have a need to confess any sin? And I like the word need because, no, I don't need to. I don't want to. But yeah, I do, you know, just some parenting stuff that's been going on in my household. I find that exposes my tolerance and my need to be heard and my need to be right, which is gross. And so a lot of the ways in which that comes out is crosswise with my kids and my family. And so I've really been seeing that on a rise. And I don't like that because I usually come away feeling gross, and I usually come away with having to have a conversation with my boys, an apologetic conversation with my boys, and a forgiveness conversation with my boys. I wish I could say it's because I'm teaching them how to forgive, but it's pretty prevalent in my world right now. So I'd say my largest sin is yeah, there and trying to engage in a way that looks like Jesus that I fail so often at in my home. So.
Yeah, let's see. Well, mine is definitely because I've been feeling this offset in my world, and I haven't felt that energy or that drive from God, but I still feel God in my world right now. I feel what I've been trying to do is just I'm finding things to hide in. Mm-hmm. You know, in the past, it would have been my addictions.
Right.
And right now, it's been looking for a new project. Looking for a new thing to bury my world in, you know. I had to stop listening to books on tape because I was just ignoring God with books on tape.
Mm.
And I kind of had to get away from some of the things I did in, you know, woodworking or building rods or all the things I did in my garage, because I've just been shutting down with that. And I found myself two or three times in the last 2 days, my wife brought up a dog. Because we've been talking about getting a dog, and I immediately was like, I'm going to ignore the world, and I'm going to look at dogs. And that was like the next, however, you know, and just ignoring God and just trying to find things to fill that void instead of just really searching for God.
Yep.
And that was really persistent this week for me. So, yeah.
That's relatable. Absolutely. So how'd you do with the reading? And here in a different LTG than I am, but did you get your 30 chapters in? Did you do well?
I didn't. Okay. I was horrible this week. I got through about half.
Yeah. I got through mine. So I've got that sweet Bible tracking app thing.
Nice.
That gives you crowns in heaven and rewards. Oh, you've done well this week. And every time I see it, I'm like, that's right. That's right. And then I trip on the way out the door, and God humbles me. It's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing. But I did get my reading done. So what can we be praying about together specifically? Who's in your world that needs to know Jesus, and who's in my world? There's a couple guys, Tim and Dennis. I understand my buddy Dennis is actually back in prison again. I've been praying for him for quite a while. But Tim, Dennis, and a guy named Adam, and it's not me, so don't pray for me, all right?
I'll pray for you anyway.
Okay, that's a good idea. Yeah.
In my world, it's definitely been some family members that know Jesus but seem to be running from it.
Yeah.
And then I've got a couple other guys just around me, a guy named Kurt, and a guy named John, that just, they kind of satellite this whole world and don't really engage in it, but then they don't stop conversations about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I see God crowbarring open seized up doors in those worlds. So
that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Anything personally I could be praying for you about?
Yeah. Listen to God. I've just been ignoring, beautifully ignoring this week.
Yeah.
So
for me, it's just that fatherhood piece of really paying attention to what that looks like and hopefully having the checks in my spirit. You know, I'll be more sensitive to those at the beginning of things instead of at the very end when you're doing the forgiveness dance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So, should we pray?
Yeah.
All right. You want to start? You want me to start?
I'll start.
All right, go for it.
God, just thank you for this time. Thank you for our ability to get together and just speak truth into each other's lives.
Mm.
God, thank you for showing up. God, lift us up this week. Lift up the people in our worlds that don't know you. Keep prying doors open. Keep pushing light into spaces that are dark.
God, bring your word specifically to Tim and Dennis and Adam and any way you can. We understand that their worlds are much larger than just their interactions with us, and I pray the same for Caleb's family and John, and I can't remember the other name.
Kurt,
God, we just pray for those interactions beyond us that include us to be ones that point them to you as they go throughout their daily lives, God, that they would question what makes this world different in our worlds than theirs. And so we want to see that with them. We love them. We want to see them see you rightly. And thanks for getting us to live life with them and experience them and be taught by them as well. So use us any way you can and use those around them to just point them to you. Pray for Caleb and just the slowing down piece and hearing you piece and being available to the things that are of you instead of the avoidance side of things. Pray for myself as well, just in that fatherhood piece. God, teach me to be a father like you are, that you are loving, you are grace-filled, and you do correct and you do rebuke at times. But God, give me that supernatural ability to understand that and know that. And just thanks for this time with Caleb. Thanks for this time that we have to be doing this together and just be in your word together and looking for the things that matter and talking about the things that matter. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Is there another 10-minute hug at the end?
At least.
Only in the springtime.
The hugs are a must. If you're not going to do the 10-minute hugs, then just don't bother. Okay. So I'm going to confess, before I came out to teach in the beginning, I was feeling very distracted and discouraged. And then while I was sitting here listening to Caleb and Adam, I realized that I slammed a whole bunch of hot tea before I came on stage and didn't use the bathroom. So I was pretty distracted sitting there listening as well. So hopefully I will articulate the rest. So you saw how simple it is, and those are questions off of one of the pamphlets that we have that are pretty simple questions. I'm going to go through some of these. They get a little more detailed, and the reason is because it helps us really think about the things in our life that are distracting us from our relationship with God. It brings it to the front. Some of these are, have you been exposed to sexually alluring material or allowed your mind to entertain inappropriate sexual thoughts about another this week? Have you lacked integrity in your financial dealings or coveted something that doesn't belong to you? Have you been honoring, understanding, and generous in your important relationships this week? That one's always mine. Have you damaged another person by your words, either behind their back or face to face? Another one of mine. Have you given in to an addictive behavior this past week? Explain. Have you continued to remain angry toward another? Have you secretly wished for another's misfortune? I always feel relieved that that one's on there because it means I'm not alone in that. And then there's a blank spot because we have all these that get detailed so that we will confront the issues that are keeping us from God, but We're people, so we can always come up with something else, right? So you're always going to have another one, and we don't want you to miss it. We want you to dive in and bring light to the darkness. So there's a blank one to encourage you. Keep the Holy Spirit involved. Keep him convicting you, and not just convicting you, but loving you and bringing you back to him and confront what we need to together. Did you finish the reading, and have you been completely honest with me? That one's at the end. So you know what stinks is if you aren't, then you got to start over, because then you got to say, no, let's go back to the beginning. No. So those are these questions. Now, in the part where we're praying for others who don't know Christ, you pick two or three people in your world to pray for. And if you're not sure how to pray, or you don't know how to pray for other people, and or you want to use Scripture to pray over them, there's actually on here a handy list of ways that you can pray for them. Again, keep the Holy Spirit involved. He knows what these people need. He knows how to love them. He knows how you need to pray for them. But this is really helpful because it's very pointed and specific. So I pray for my brother and his wife, and I pray for my coworker. So some of these, Lord, I pray that you draw my brother and his wife to you. I ask you, Lord, that you give me the opportunity, the courage, and the right words to share you with him. I pray that my coworker will turn from sin and follow Christ. I pray that she will put all her trust in you. I pray that they will see a desperate need for you and have a desire to seek you. My brother and I grew up in a home where we developed some pretty false narratives of God, so I'm constantly praying, God, please put people in his life. And if I'm one of those, help me be obedient to that. But please put people in his life who can show him the correct narrative of who God is and love him in those ways. So that's what these things are about. Why these are important to me is that I grew up in church. I grew up with my dad as a minister in church, and I've been in within Whitewater with Adam for 10 years. And the thing is I never took all this very serious. And then I started going through a time 7 or 8 years ago, somewhere around there, where it was a really dark time for me. And I entertained a lot of thoughts of if there's something better outside my marriage with another person. And it was really dark and it was really painful because that's not what I wanted, but that's what was there. And that's what I was feeling. And I let my thoughts entertain it constantly. And then I would drive, and I would park, and I would pray, and I would beg God, please change this. Please take these thoughts away. Please take these feelings away. I don't want this. I need you to help me. And then I would think, okay, I'm going to do this. Something good to do would be to read the Bible, right? That would be good to do. So I went and asked somebody in the church to help me, hold me accountable to reading the Bible. And she said, no, you just need to do it. Just go do it. Just make it happen. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to go and I'm just going to make it happen. And I didn't. I didn't do any reading. I didn't really. The only time I really prayed was when I would go and I would park and I would cry and I would pray, God, change this. Desperately, I need you to change this. I don't like this. I don't know what to do. And it was the darkest time of my life. And it was miserable. And the worst part of it is I was doing it alone. Because I felt all the shame, and how do you, as your husband being a pastor, go tell somebody, here's what I'm dealing with, and come out looking good? You know, that's what's going through my mind of, this isn't going to go well, this isn't going to look good, this isn't going to make him look good, and I don't want to, I would try to drop hints with my friends and hope they'd kind of pick up on it, but I would never. I just dove deeper and deeper into a really dark place by myself. I have discovered through my life transformation group that I very much like to do things by myself. I don't like to ask for help. I don't like to accept help. I like to live in a world that says I'm independent and I don't need any help and I don't want any help. I don't want to accept it, and it's not true. And so as years go through Whitewater, I'm still praying, God, and I'm praying prayers like, hey, help me to have a desire to read your word. Give me that desire, because then I'll do it. If you'll give me that desire, I'll do it. And so I'm praying those things. And what I found is God was faithful in that. I had a desire to do it, but I didn't do it. I didn't take action. I had a desire to pursue God. I had a desire to change. I had a desire to want to know him more, to love him more, to live this out, to be in his word, to grow in this, but I didn't take any action. I just wanted to drive and park and pray, and then he's supposed to show up and change it all. And that was my desire. That's where I was at. And I would get really mad because it wasn't happening. I didn't take any action on my part. So life goes on in Whitewater, and we dive into community with some people where we had to have some real transparent conversations and really dive deep into this life with God and what this looks like. And that started changing things for me. And I realized I'm not alone in this. There are other people who want this too. And it's okay to talk about these things, and actually it's really great to talk about these things. Because now there's people praying for me over this. Now there's people saying, you know what, I've struggled with that too. And we can look towards God together. I'm not leaving you behind. You're worth it. God says you're worth it. I believe you're worth it. Then life transformation groups come, and I start into that. And there is one thing about me of I don't like to be the one who shows up and not have the work done. If I said I'm going to have it done, I like to be the one who shows up to have it done. So what I've learned about myself in this process is that I would love to say that I read the Bible because I know it's important, and God put that desire in my heart, so I'm going to do it. But he's made it clear that I do need help. I do need to ask for help. I do need others, despite that that's not the way I think I want it to be. I do need that. So this accountability, the life transformation groups, having that other person where we celebrate when we did our reading. And if we didn't and we read again the same part, I've learned that that's okay to read it again, because in the Bible it says the Word of God is alive and active. And I didn't experience that until I started reading the Word of God. And you can read the same section more than once, and he will teach you something new, and he will meet you where you're at, and he will show you parts about him that I didn't see before, or he's going to show you where he can work in your life because of this. And the same section can tell me something totally different the next time. And again, I'm moving forward with somebody. We don't leave each other behind. We're in this together. That's how it's meant to be. So finally, 38 years of life, living in the church my whole life, and I didn't take it serious for a lot of that. And then being here with Adam, a part of Whitewater, for 10 years, I actually just read the Bible from cover to cover. And that, for me, is huge, because I can't and won't do it without accountability. I need that help. I need that person to encourage me, to be there with me. Also, for the things in life, I just realized as I was thinking about life transformation groups to come up here and talk about them the other day, that I thought, man, when I was in that dark time, my thoughts just constantly went to the places they shouldn't go, of another person or things outside my marriage or what you know, not where I was pursuing God, but where I allowed my mind to go everywhere else, and I was miserable. And I realized that that hasn't happened in a long time. And I realized that I didn't even realize that God was freeing me from that. I mean, it's been a long time, and I didn't even realize it. I have been so committed to being in his word, and these questions that you're asked, these questions get you thinking all week long. What is God doing in my life? How is he speaking to me? How am I going to respond to it? Am I showing others his love? And what is that looking like? And it's pretty exciting to go back to your group and be able to celebrate those things. And it's pretty exciting to go back to your group and say, I blew it this week, and know that they're praying me through and that they're going to lift me up to start again next week, and to experience the grace of God through that other person as they encourage me, and to have the hard conversations that say, you can do this. But I experienced some freedom. And the part that I learned from that is that it took me taking action. God was faithful in my prayers of help me with this, free me from this, put this desire in my heart. He was faithful in that. But it takes action on my part. and it takes action on your part. This doesn't just happen. This relationship with him, to be relational, you need to participate. And that's what I found that has been the most amazing thing is it's not about, oh, I read the Bible in a year. It's not about rushing through it. It's not about, what it's about is engaging God in a relationship. And these are ways to do that. I mean, there are a lot of times I wanted that and I just didn't know what to do. So it's not this legalistic thing of your works. You have to pray, you have to read the Bible, you have to do this. These are because this is how to engage God. This is how he meets you. This is how you have this relationship with him. And it's really important. One of the worship songs that we were singing just spoke to me when I was waiting, when we were doing worship today. The words were, all my life I live to follow you alone as you change my desires. And that one always gets me, a lot of times bring me to tears because I have had a hard time changing some of my own desires. I mean, you desire, that's why I'm like, you desire what you desire. Well, I need the Holy Spirit to help me change those desires. And the more I pursue him and the more I take this seriously in community with others, I've seen him change those within me, and it's pretty incredible. I'm only up here because of that, because I desire to be in a hole in the back. I desire to stay at home by myself all the time, but that's not, that's lonely, and I've found a much more abundant life in living out God's desires with others, sharing his love with others, allowing them to share his love with me and his grace with me, and taking my pursuit of God seriously. I don't even realize that that he's done. Like, when I look back with Whitewater, some of the things that I did to start serving was being on the computer, being in communion, and I preferred those things because I was hidden and by myself. And I think about now, and I think this is only because God has put such a desire in my heart to share him with others that this is all God. This is all the Holy Spirit. This is all me taking him seriously and wanting others to do the same because it has made such a difference in my life. I wanted to make sure I wrote down certain things because I've been a little spacey lately. But I think we covered it all. So the life transformation groups cover a lot of what Whitewater is about too. We're about adventure, we're about worship, we're about community. And these are really important to the vision, taking Whitewater to this next level, because this is how we know God, this is how we find God, and this is how we completely believe in doing this together. You're not alone. And if it feels like you are, we want to be in this with you. I'm going to go ahead and pray, and I'm going to have a couple people down here in the pit, my friend Neil and my friend Bethany. And the reason is that I know there might be questions that I didn't answer, or you want to know a little more from other people who are in life transformation groups. In fact, if you're in one, will you raise your hand? And if you're not, look around. So talk to others who are in life transformation groups. Get an idea of what they're about. Ask them if they want another person in there if you're looking. But if you have questions, if you want somebody to pray with you about being in one, if you just want to know some more of the experiences of others, we want you to be able to talk to them. So Neil and Bethany will be down here. You can come talk to them when you're done. I'm going to pray, and then I think we're done. So God, I pray that you, that there be your words heard, your heart heard, that you continue to guide the vision of Whitewater, and that you continue to spur us on to participate and to take action and to chase after you and take that seriously. I pray that we feel you chasing after us as we engage in this. I ask God that if there are those struggling and feeling alone, that you will meet us where we're at, that you will meet them where they're at, and help them feel your presence and your love, and help them feel the community that we have here and that we so want to offer as we pursue you together. I ask you, God, to just keep our focus on you and what your idea of community and success and love and all these things look like, and help us to not be distracted by everything else. And I just ask you to keep working on us as we're pursuing you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.